All right. I will call to order the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board of Directors meeting on Wednesday, November 5th, 2025, at 6 p.m. We will start with the roll call, please.
Director Karen Ray Russom?
Here.
Director Cassie Dee?
Yeah, here.
Director Linda Austin?
Here.
Thank you. Sorry, I had another board meeting earlier, so I'm like in the yes mode. All right, now to the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Join me.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Board members, do we have any corrections or questions or comments regarding the agenda?
No.
No? Okay, moving right along. We will now go on to public comments on items not appearing on the agenda. This public comment period is an invitation to members of the community to present comments, thoughts, or suggestions on matters not scheduled on this agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters which are within the jurisdiction of the district. The Brown Act restricts the board from taking formal action on matters not published on the agenda. I will now open up public comment, general public comment. Does anybody wish to come up and speak?
Charles Varney, Oceano. And I just want to reiterate for all of you that I'm here in service to the community. I'm here to work collaboratively and cooperatively. There may be times that I have differences or different point of view. I mean, we're all adults. We know how to handle that. And I am just want to admit my confusion about not really being clear still on the accountability or the responsibility for communicating back to our communities what happens here. And I was thinking about it as I came over, and I think that the answer is that there is some sort of firewall between this body and the councils and the district, and that really all the information for the public legally is coming from this meeting. That's where people need to be getting into it. And it's not the responsibility of the reps to be taking everything back to the city council and going through all of that. But I'm not sure really where that line lies. I don't even know if you all do. So down the line, I'd like to better understand that. And if you can be helpful to me with that, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else wish to come up and speak on general public comment? Seeing nobody come forward, I will now close public comment. Ms. Stockton or Mr. Gent, can you just address the comment that was made regarding our responsibility as directors and what we are supposed to bring back to our councils and our role within this district?
So I'll start and turn it over to Ms. Stockton, because I think the board's aware that she wrote a memo on this issue to clarify for your board what the roles and responsibilities are. And I will start by saying I do understand the confusion with the way we're structured and the speaker's concern about how this is supposed to work. And there is a little bit of a misunderstanding. So we are a complete independent government body. And, you know, as such, you are the elected officials. And so it actually is not lawful for you to solicit your decisions from your respective boards before you come to do the district's business this evening. So that would be an error for you. The understanding that the speaker has is that it's more structured like a committee assignment, where you would come in and you're actually spending your agency's money. And there is a different fiduciary accountability when there's that type of structure. But that's not the case with the sanitation district. We do not receive funds from any of the member agencies. We receive all of our funds from the ratepayers of our district. And so with that, I'll turn it over. And I think Ms. Stockton could probably read the memo in its entirety for the record. if she would like to, but I think it does go a long way at clarifying by statute what the expectations of the, and the roles and responsibilities of the district board members are and how that interfaces with the member agencies.
And may I ask that you go ahead and do read that in its entirety, because then it's on the record for those people who might be listening and having the same concerns that they're going to hear it in the same meeting.
Certainly. I haven't done this since first grade where I read without making a mistake. So thank you. The question is, are board members obligated to report back to the jurisdictions they represent at public meetings concerning district operations and financial issues? And the response to the question is no. As discussed below, the district is a separate public entity. State law specifies the membership of the district board, provides for district powers and their independent exercise, and imposes the requirement for board members to do district business in open and public district meetings. This structure and its obligations do not include individual board members reporting back to their jurisdictions. Do you wish me to proceed with the discussion as well?
I think it would just be helpful to have everything out in the open.
Thank you. Okay. So I started with the nature of the district. Our district is a county sanitation district, as provided by the Health and Safety Code, sections 4700 to 4858. It was formed by the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors on September 3rd, 1963, by resolution 44163. The Health and Safety Code specifies that the district has a number of independent powers common to public entity agencies, including acquiring and maintaining a sewerage system, that's section 4741, employing experts to carry out its powers into effect, section 4739, and collecting rates or charges for services and facilities it furnishes. Those are sections 5470 and 5471. Turning to governance of the district, the district is governed by a board of directors whose composition is set by state law, and that is stated by Health and Safety Code section 4730.10, effective January 29, 1996. That section sets out specific rules for the district's governing body. To step away from the words for just a moment, every so often a public entity gets special legislation from the state of California, probably because there's a need to clarify how legislation applies to that particular entity. And our history includes a time when the city of Grover City at the time was not a part of the district, but was contracting for district services. And later on, the city of Grover City was annexed into the district. That sort of confusing situation for purposes of state law made section 4730.10 necessary. So going on with the memo, when read with other applicable sections, the current result is a district governing body consisting of the presiding officers of Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano Community Services District, and their alternates. And that is set by sections 4730.1A2 and 3, subsection D, and 4730.10. So that's about the district board. Now, how the district exercises power. The district exercises power through the actions of its board. That's by Health and Safety Code sections 4738 to 4767.5. These provisions in the Health and Safety Code do not require consultation, coordination, or agreement with any other public entity unless a physical installation is proposed for location in that jurisdiction. In fact, the law specifies that board members are to act for the district even when their jurisdiction removes itself from a district project. And the words that indicate that are, no director shall be excluded because the political subdivision which he represents, sorry about that, on the board, has excluded itself. Health and Safety Code section 4741.4. They haven't asked me to come and change that yet in state law. As the governing body of a special district created by state statute, the district board must exercise district powers according to the Ralph M. Brown Act. That's found at Government Code sections 54950 to 54963. The Brown Act generally requires that the exercise of power occur after public participation at open public meetings of the particular government entity, preceded by notice on a descriptive agenda. This model does not include individual members reporting back to separate public entities.
Thank you so much. And I think if there's any additional questions from the speaker, that they reach out to our staff, as to the district staff, for more clarifying or for further clarification. Thank you.
I wanted to add one more thing in just to make things super clear. We sit on multiple bodies. So for example, I also sit on the Five Cities Fire Authority Board, and my council's handbook governs what I have to go back and talk to my council about. So when we're talking about committees, that can be individual to each city as to what they're supposed to report back and when. In our city, we report back generally once a month about the committees that we sit on. I do report about this one in a general way, but as you've heard, I don't have to consult on that. But in Arroyo Grande, if the cost to our general fund is different than by $25,000 or more on a decision that I'm going to make as I'm part of something, say the fire authority, not here, then that I need to come back and get authority from my council. So it depends. And I think you're finding where that line is depends on whether or not it's a different entity. And in this case, it is, because it doesn't receive funding from the city. Therefore, it never reaches that threshold. So hopefully that makes that a little bit more clear for you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. All right, we will now move on to the consent agenda. We have 5A and 5B, the approval of warrants and the approval of meeting minutes of October 1st, 2025. Do we have any questions from the board? I will now open a public comment for the consent agenda. Does anybody wish to come up and speak? I'm so sorry. I didn't look to my left. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I was going to ask if you could expand on 6B for the audience. What that was all about, the $46,000 that we approved.
In the minutes?
Yeah.
Explain
that out for Mr. Varney, please.
Explain from the minutes from 6B.
So in item 5B on the consent agenda, expand on 6B.
On item 5B, page 2, Mr. Yeah. Gent, at the bottom.
It takes three of us.
That's very confusing.
Sorry.
We voted last time to enter into that $46,000 contract, and there were questions about why I voted for that and didn't ask my board to. We need to explain that out.
I'll probably turn this over to Ms. Stockton to put it into the same terms that she alluded to. So when you were making the decision to vote for the $46,000, it was unnecessary and should be avoided. You should have not engaged your council to make that decision prior to doing the board's business in front of the public at a district board meeting. And so I think there is some confusion, and that's what we've been talking about. So that $46,000 threshold, if your handbook that Director A. Russum was referring to, if OCSD has a handbook that has some threshold on when you have to report back for costs from a committee, there is no cost to OCSD when you make a decision at the sanitation district. So there is no fiduciary impact or communication necessary back to or to coordinate to that constituency.
Good job.
Can you explain why we voted for it? What was the contract about?
Okay, so certainly on the contract itself, I think there was some concern. We were hiring an engineer to hire another engineer, right? So I think there was some concern around that double action. I am a registered civil engineer. I'll be really frank. I am not a wastewater engineer. I do infrastructure. I manage people, and that's where my career is right now. So on the engineering front, the district has to engage outside engineering services, and traditionally we have relied on MKN to act as district engineers. And so that $46,000 actually represents engineering staff support for the district. And so you can think of it as we are crafting this request for proposals because we're going to spend a substantial effort a couple hundred thousand dollars doing the actual condition assessment, right? And so we need to line this out and be able to describe the needs that we need in this condition assessment and all the different things we need looked at, and make sure that we're meeting all the coastal conditions as outlined in our coastal development permit. And then we're going to bring on wastewater experts to assess the facility, tell us how long that equipment can last, what investments we have to make it last that long. And all this is part of the equation to figure out science and data-based reasons when the plant needs to be relocated. And so it's this condition assessment. If we don't know how long this stuff that we already own is going to last accurately, we can't really say when we need to move for just strictly investment purposes. When do we need an entire new plant, right? Sometimes it's never, because you can just keep doing upgrades. So I think it's, there was some concern that I think it was primarily around you exercising your right to vote on that without checking in with OCSD. But at the same time, if there was questions around why hiring an engineer to hire an engineer, that's why.
That's what it was.
MKN is really the district staff engineer.
Right.
And our district engineer is putting out an RFP.
Okay, thank you so much for that.
Okay, I will now open up public comment on the consent agenda. Did anybody want to speak? Seeing nobody come forward, I will now close public comment on the consent agenda and bring it back to the board for adoption or questions.
I'll make a motion. We approve the consent agenda as presented.
We have a motion and a second. May I have a roll call, please?
Director Karen Ray Russell?
Yes.
Director Cassie D?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you so much. Now on to item 6A. This is the... Yes, from this one. this is a continuing item. I'm going to pass it over to Mr. Gent.
Yes, good evening. Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. So last month in October, Ms. Shields gave a presentation outlining and summarizing the finances and cost recovery on the district redundancy project. And the board voted to continue that item until this meeting on November 5th. And ask questions related to actual expenditures and unspent budget and costs related to damage investigation and repair of the secondary clarifier number 2. This staff report is provided to respond to the board's questions. The October 2025 staff report is attached for reference on the backside of this staff report. I'm sorry, like, that does get a little bit confusing. We tried to watermark it so it doesn't look like it's a staff report for this month's agenda. There were typographical errors. In addition to the questions, there were typographical errors in Table 4 and 5 that were discussed during the meeting, and the staff report shows those corrections. The question we received, the first one was, it's not clear in the staff report that the district did not pay the SC2 costs, provide complete and simple table of project costs, what was reimbursed to the district to cover the SC2 costs, and what the actual district costs were. And so Ms. Shields and I worked together and created Table 1 below. All these numbers can be referenced from the previous staff report, so you can see we're not manipulating anything, but these are numbers that you can actually pull from there. But it definitely more concisely answers the question that was posed by the board. And so this table summarizes total project expenditure, the reimbursement for the SC2 related costs, and shows the difference from the total original budget. So if we look at that table, we see the $54,706. That was the total expenses for the project, including like all design, all SC2 related costs, every cent we paid to construct and design the redundancy contract. And so then the next line down, the $8.6 million, that's the construction cost reimbursement from Kennedy Jenks, and you can see the footnote on that. So since I'm being asked how did we perform on the construction contract, I couldn't put in the full $9.2 million because I would be insinuating that we performed better than we actually did. So the other $551,000 were additional claims because the damages that we incurred were not just on the construction side. And so what we're really talking about is we fronted $9 million over the course of construction. And so a substantial portion of that $500,000 is interest. But in addition to that, we had to run pumps longer, substantial amounts of electricity. We had to use additional chemicals for those 2.5 year delays. And those were costs that weren't, those were operational costs to the districts. Those weren't construction costs. And so we pulled those out and included those in our claim to Kennedy Jenks. And so that's what makes up that other $500,000 that's not included in the construction costs. And so that leaves the district ratepayers paying a total of $35,091,992 for the complete construction of the redundancy project. In our original budget when we went to bid in 2019 was $37,400,000, resulting in an unspent budget of $2,308,000 and another $8. So I think I covered that what the SC2 related costs include, and that answers that question. And I'll move on to question two. And I'll apologize for some confusion. I definitely confused Mr. Varney based on some of his questions in his email, but I can clarify that tonight. So question two, would the unspent project budget be returned to the ratepayers? So during development of the district's 2025 rate study, staff and the district's financial consultant used best projections available for rate setting purposes, and the remaining unspent project budget and full reimbursement of SC2 related costs were assumed to be returned. And that's where I stopped. And that's an error. It's confusing. It's ambiguous. It can be interpreted two completely different ways. When I say returned, and the actual question is, should it be returned to the ratepayers? That's an error on my part, but that should, I was talking about the cost recovery, like, and so I'm using return like recovery, as I often updated your board when I would say the district still anticipates full cost recovery on all SC2 related damage costs. I think you heard me say that every meeting when I would give an update about the redundancy project. So what that means is when we sat down with Bartle Wells and Associates, they don't want to just look at your books. They want to know what other financial issues you are facing and what other costs or incomes or revenues that aren't part of your regular books. And so one of the things they want, like, are you going to make cost recovery for this outstanding claim? Like, we didn't have the answer to that when we were setting the rates, but for rate setting purposes, we had to answer that question. And so in May of 2025, when we were actually pushing those rates out to people, we were confident and we included both the $9.2 million and the unspent budget as money available to the district. And why that's the right way is we had actually paused setting increasing rates for 5 years with the entire intention of understanding fully redundancy costs, right? We spent $40 million on a project and over the course of 5 years. And so we're spending $8 million every year when we typically only spend six. So it's hard to say what are rates gonna be when you don't know, when you're spending money that fast. You need to know the outcome of that picture. So in 2016, we adopted rates to fund redundancy project, and those rates were phased in 2016, 17, 18, and 19. And so from 2019 till now in 2025, we had no rate increases. And that was all done, and it was communicated at the board meetings, to understand redundancy costs before we went out and told the public how much it was gonna cost to run the district. So there was discussion early on, like in 2016, if the rates were set too high, we would go back and correct the rates after we really understood redundancy costs. And that is what the district did. So in conclusion, staff and the district's financial consultant in preparation of the rate study, we recommend the remaining budget remain in the district reserves consistent with the projections in the adopted rate study. And so that answers question number two, and I'm happy to answer any questions your board may have.
Do you have any questions? Mm-mm. Do you have any questions? Go ahead.
It's a question, and it's sort of a comment, I suppose, but it really is a question, because this was, first of all, Eileen, I assume this was you on the new table there. Well done. That's exactly what I wanted to see. So I don't know. I assume you did that, but thank you. That's what I felt was missing, because that's the only piece the public cares about. They don't care about which category goes in which thing. That's for us. So I do appreciate staff going to this effort to put together something that is really honestly so simple, but it's cumulative and summative. So I appreciate that. On question two, I think I just want to ask the question to make sure I understand it perfectly, because I've served this whole time, but not since 2016. I came on here in 2018. And there was some discussion the whole time. We thought we might be $2 million under budget because things were going well and we weren't dipping into those contingencies. And there was some off and on commentary about returning that money to ratepayers. However, based on the fact that essentially enough time elapsed that we did another rate study, if we were to follow through on that and give that back, that would essentially not necessarily negate our rate study, but put us in the position on the next one that the change in the rates would be significantly higher, right? So either way, we're getting that. The ratepayers are getting that money. They're just getting it. My question is, are they getting it in a flatter curve, essentially, of how much their rates will change over time?
Yes, that would be an outcome of maintaining those funds, is it would maintain a smoother rate curve that
the
public would.
Thank you. That's the word I needed. Thank you. All right, perfect. That's it for me. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Okay. All right, well, I will now open up public comment on this item. If anybody wishes to come speak on this item. Seeing nobody come forward, I will bring it back to the board for any other comments. It is a receive and file. Any other comments?
Yeah, I do have a comment. So I just want to be clear that I was pushing for this to go back years and years ago to the ratepayers, but I think it would be so confusing to say, here's some money, and by the way, your rates are going to go up. It's their money either way. So I can stand by this, even though I was pushing for this to go back before. Thank you very much for the clarification. I really appreciate staff making crystal clear. At the last meeting, I think we were clear as a board, but I just want to make sure that the public is crystal clear. And so I think this effort was not for naught, and I appreciate everything that Eileen, you, and staff did to make sure that I and the board felt comfortable enough with what we were saying to the public that they could understand what we were doing. So thank you.
Yeah, completely agree, and thank you for making leading that direction. I also agree about the returning the money to the ratepayers. I feel more comfortable doing a lower increase than just giving money back, and then now we have to go back up again. So because this 9% that we did, I feel like would be even higher if we had returned those funds. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, I concur.
Yeah, good. Okay. All right, thank you so much. We will now move on to item 6B, the District Administrator and Plant Operations Report. Mr. Jones.
This is my favorite part right here. My favorite part.
Good evening, ladies of the board.
That's where that language needs to be changed.
Put me on the spot. No. Michael Jones, Plant Superintendent, presenting the Plant Operations Report. For the October 2025 reporting period. During this reporting period, the district had no violations of its NPDES permit. All regulatory required analyses were well within permit limitations, as shown in the October 2025 plant data table. Moving on, operations staff completed a multitude of operations, maintenance, and work orders during this reporting period. Staff did have some training this reporting period. Staff participated in training on personal protective equipment. We did have a few callouts this reporting period. There were multiple callouts due to a faulty level sensor on our rotary drum thickener hopper. The RDT manufacturer is scheduled. There's actually performed that work this week, replaced both level sensors November 4th, which should resolve the issue. We're in a testing phase right now to verify proper operation. We also had multiple callouts due to a faulty thickened waste activated sludge pump variable frequency drive. Those were replaced on October 29th. Operation staff have continued to monitor the system for proper operation, and we haven't had any issues since those VFDs have been replaced. We had an additional call out on October 29th at 5 p.m. for a primary sludge pump VFD fault. Operation staff responded, inspected the system, cleared the fault, and placed the system back into operation. And that call out's not to be confused with the thickened waste activated sludge pump VFD. Sorry for all the acronyms. Kind of a brief report, but I did include one photo, and it's of operator Justin Music installing a new reclaimed water line at our rotary drum thickener polymer system. And with that, that concludes my report, and I'm able to answer any questions or the board may have. Excuse me.
Do you have any questions?
Could you be any more awesome?
I know. That's a good question. All right, thank you so much for that report. I appreciate it. Thanks. All right, Mr. Gent.
Yeah, so good evening. Just a few miscellaneous items this evening. So I attended CalPERS Forum from 10:13 to 10:15. It's a conference intended for managers and HR directors who administer CalPERS benefits. Traditionally, that's a conference that Ms. Simpson attends every year, serving as an HR director for the district. She had a schedule conflict and wasn't able to attend, and so she had already registered for the conference, and I went in her stead. It was very educational, and I think it will allow the district to continue to understand and administer those benefits to the employees of the district. It's a challenge to know everything we have to know as a small agency, and CalPERS is a robust bureaucracy to work through. So I certainly appreciated having some time to try to get to understand that better. The auditors are on site now. They showed up on Monday. So they've been auditing the district's financials this week. Official reports, but no findings as of right now. So that's a good sign, and I would expect that to continue. I met with Director D and an applicant from Canyon Crest neighborhood. It's a neighborhood in rural Arroyo Grande, and we were discussing potential annexation into the sanitation district. More formal board discussions will proceed if and when the applicant makes a decision to proceed. Some of this stuff starts at LAFCO, some of it starts at the city agency, and so we're just a little bit along for the ride. I will state it's pretty simple as far as the district's concerned. If and when the city and the applicant work out some of the details around annexation and maintenance of the collection system, because the city's not really in a position to offer annexation to these applicants, but they are in a position to potentially offer wastewater service only, and which is a little bit different. But since we only offer one service, we could annex them. We can treat their wastewater. It's 54 houses. It's well within our capacity. So that being said, we're just in a support role, and we'll communicate with your board and make sure that we communicate any mild impacts that could be considered district impacts as the application proceeds. I met with Grover Beach City Manager Matt Bronson on October 30th to discuss district and city status and needs, and a lot of that is around water and wastewater needs, not just wastewater, but water needs, as we talk about some of the discussions moving forward with recycled water and what opportunities exist for us as a region. And then addition to that, this is more on the development side, kind of reads like the same stuff, but what I'm talking about in this last bullet, we continue to coordinate and communicate with City of Grover staff regarding ongoing city sewer improvements. City's had a sustained uptick in development, and so that's created just more opportunities for engagement with city staff as we, as Michael and I review public improvement plans as they move forward with some of their improvements. Plant tours, Grover Beach community members Pamela Storton and Lauren Westfall toured the plant on October 8th. I've been talking about bringing forward a status of the CoGen feasibility status, and I wanted to bring a status update tonight, but some meetings got moved around, and Michael and I are actually meeting with one of the consultants tomorrow, and so I didn't have the update tonight because they're doing some of their final work during tomorrow. And with that concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Comments? Any questions or comments? I just want to say thank you for providing tours to individuals. I mean, even a community member that just wants to learn more about the district, I think that's really great that you take them out for tours and give them more information and answer questions and taking care of my Grover Beach people. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm going to do a plug for that. And it's actually a plug, coincidentally, Mr. Varney's made for the district at schools before. I'm disappointed that COVID seems to have lost all my third grade classes that I used to give. There's been no return. It used to be relatively routine to get some sort of school-aged kids making requests to come tour our facilities. I did that both in Los Osos and for the Sand District. But we've done one since COVID, and it was a charter school. It was a small group. So if there's any public schools, and Mr. Varney reached out to the Oceano Elementary School and said, hey, this guy's available to give you guys tours. And they definitely expressed interest, but I haven't seen any follow-up. But it is available. I'm happy to do it. I do a good job at it. So if you're a teacher looking for something to do, bring them down. We'll smell some smells.
Sorry, that was flat out. I'm sorry. That was just really funny. Okay, well, that's a good plug. Thank you for letting us know. I think we could probably reach out to our schools and let them know that wonderful opportunity. okay, any other questions or comments? No? Okay, sorry, your hand was on your mic. I wasn't sure. Okay, all right, perfect. All right, okay, board member communications.
I will be unable to make the December 3rd meeting, so I will reach out to my alternate to hopefully make them aware, and hopefully they will be available. But just in case, just want to let you know we might have a short council or group that night.
Thank you. Any board member communications? Okay. Well, then I will. Our next regularly scheduled board meeting is December 3rd, 2025, 6 o'clock p.m. here in the Grover Beach City Hall Council Chambers. And we will now adjourn. Thank you.